last week I spoke about manifestations of the spirit, manifestations of the demonic, and manifestations of the flesh. Not sinful flesh, but just our human soul and body. And a little bit in preparation for Catherine Crick coming, we're legally allowed to have 490 people in this room, believe it or not. The fire marshal was extremely generous with us, and so it's possible it's going to be very packed. So come early, and please, if you would volunteer, that would be wonderful. We need a lot of help, especially with parking. So we're going to have a meeting at 7 on Wednesday night to talk about parking, to talk about, just go over, like, what is the role of a catcher, some security stuff, registration. We're going to have to count heads. There's a lot that we're going to need help with. So we'd appreciate the entire family pitching in to help host this awesome event. So I actually want to continue talking a little bit about what we began talking about last week. And we're not going to talk about manifestations this morning, but I had mentioned that when we talked about manifestations, that a lot of it had to do with the heart. And I read a scripture that connected the two, miraculous and hardness of heart. And Jesus went into the synagogue on a Saturday, and there was a man with a withered hand. And he looked around and he knew that there were religious people there that were going to be upset if he actually healed somebody. And he said, is it lawful to help a man, to heal a man on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? And he looked around and he was testing their hearts, and he healed the man. A withered hand actually grew out, and people were upset. And it says that Jesus marveled at their hardness of heart. He marveled at their hardness of heart. And sad to say, we're actually seeing that. We're with this Catherine Crick thing. There's some amazing miracles and deliverances that are happening, but people are commenting on Facebook that it's not a good thing. That she's a false teacher and a false this and a false that, and women shouldn't be teaching. And they're making all these excuses for why people shouldn't get healed, for why people shouldn't get delivered. And it's more of an issue of the heart than sometimes we would give credit for. I want to read a couple scriptures here, and we're going to connect some of those things. This is Mark 6:45, and it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Pretty awesome. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded. Why were they utterly astounded? Would you be utterly astounded? I probably would be. I'm just confessing. Some guy walking on water, and then, oh, it's Jesus. He gets in, and the storm stops. That's pretty utterly astounding. But Mark actually makes this comment, and they were utterly astounded because they did not understand about the loaves. Jesus had just done a miracle of multiplying bread. And Mark here is saying the only reason they were astounded at Jesus walking on water and stilling the storm is because they didn't get it. And he goes on to say, but their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. We don't normally, we connect miracles and we connect, you know, spiritual perception with right theology or even faith or even a spiritual gift. But here Mark is saying, no, spiritual perception is about the condition of our heart. And as amazed as these guys were, they should not have been. If their hearts were soft, they would have understood, they would have had spiritual understanding. And if they had spiritual understanding, they wouldn't have been surprised. So it has a lot more to do, the spiritual perception and spiritual understanding, with the condition of our heart than some spiritual gift of discernment or even right theology or faith. We have to have all those things, but really, it's a rebuke to all of us. So understanding, and we'll see this in a second, is very clearly linked to the condition of our heart. Very clearly linked to the condition of our heart. In Mark 16:14, Jesus had been risen from the dead at this point. And he appeared to some of the disciples, and it says this, Mark 16:14. Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he rose from the dead. Jesus walked into the room, and he rebuked them. What would it look like if Jesus walked into this room right now and just said, I rebuke you. You are hard-hearted, and you should have understood. You should have believed. And the reason you don't is because of your heart. Ouch. Ouch. The Christian life is not a cold-hearted, fact-based, faith-based, devoid of feelings religion. It's an open-hearted, mutual trust between a loving father and his sons and daughters. It's a soft, contrite, and grateful heart in a love pursuit of a mutually love-stricken Savior. It's a life-filled heart that can bleed at a touch. A life-filled heart that can bleed at a touch in a chest of a newly married bride dancing with her groom. It's a soft, rich field of soil that receives seed and bears 100 times more fruit than the seed that was planted in it. Jesus told a story about a sower and seed, but it's really about soil. And he said a farmer throws out seed everywhere, just throwing it out everywhere, giving it out generously. And some of it grew up, and some of it got choked out, and some of it got trampled down, and some of it got stolen away, but some of it grew. And 100 times, 60, 90-fold more than what was sown came up in parts of that soil. And the disciples were like, Jesus, we don't get it. Why are you talking to us about farming? And he said, it's about your heart. And he began to talk about conditions, the different soils. And it was different conditions of the heart. Different conditions of the heart. If we're not careful, we can have hearts that are bad soil, that are hard soil, that won't receive seed anymore, but we think we're okay because we prayed a prayer and we know theology and, you know, we don't sin that much. But Jesus says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. We have to keep soft hearts. Jesus actually said in that parable, hearing, they do not hear, and seeing, they do not see because of the condition, because of the hardness of their hearts. We see but don't see, and we hear but we don't hear. It's not about our faith. It's about the condition of our heart. My wife is a potter. She loves to play with dirt. And it's heavy. I lifted a box of clay the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is heavy. The reason that clay is so heavy is it's full of water. But I get to see when she, you know, messes around with the clay. When it's wet and when it's soft, it's very moldable. And she can make it, turn it into whatever she wants to make. It's amazing the things that she makes. But when you let it sit there exposed for a couple days, it gets hard. The liquid evaporates out of it. And you can't mold it anymore. The only thing she can do with it is scrape it. That's all she can do. With clay that's been hardened, to try and shape it a little bit is to scrape it. And if it turns into a shape that she doesn't want, the only choice you have is to break it into pieces and just immerse it in the water. It's ruined. She has to start all over. That's what happens to our heart. What happens when we get hard ground in our heart? If God in His mercy wants to till the soil and cause things to grow again, what happens when you have hard ground and you need to till it up? What do you have to do? Yeah, you need water, but you take a blade. A sharp blade has to go in and grab what's underneath and bring it to the surface. And that's sometimes what God has to do to us. We pray and we cry and we say, Lord, heal me. Lord, change my life. Lord, I don't like the way my life is going. And a lot of it is because we've hardened our heart. And in His mercy, He's got to take a sharp blade and cut deep. And we go, oh God, that hurts. Don't do that. He has to if He's going to heal us. He has to if He's going to heal us. But if we keep a soft heart, if we keep a soft heart, He doesn't have to. How many of you have ever gardened and you either put new soil or there's been so much rain that when you want to plant a seed, all you have to do is just put your finger in and it just dents and you drop a little seed in and you cover it right back up. It's just so easy to plant seed in there. But that hard soil, you got to take a pickaxe or a shovel or a spade and you stab it and stab it and stab it and get the dirt clods into smaller and smaller chunks. We don't want God to have to stab our heart over and over and over and over to try and make it soft again, do we? I don't. I don't know about you. I don't. In Luke 20, verse 9, Jesus told this parable, and I'm just telling it to give you some context. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to himself, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." So they knew Jesus was talking about them. He knew he was talking about Israel. And they said, "No, God would never do that." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." Jesus didn't give any other options besides brokenness. He said, "I am the stone. I am the cornerstone. And you have two choices. You can either break your own heart and fall on me and let me break you further so that you can be healed. Or you can resist. You can keep a hard heart. You can keep your bitterness and your anger and your stubbornness. But in the end, I will fall on you and you will be crushed to pieces." Either way, Jesus didn't give any other choice but brokenness. Either us voluntarily falling on him, the rock, with a broken and contrite heart and saying, "Jesus, help me." Or we stay stubborn. We stay angry. We stay bitter. We stay self-protected. We protect our pain. But Jesus said, in the end, all that will happen is you're going to get crushed. You have two choices. Fall on me or I fall on you. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." When we have a hard heart, we can't give God all of our heart because some of it is given over to numbness. You can't give God a hard heart and it be left that way. You put a hard heart in God's hands, it will not be hard for very long. He loves us too much for it to be left that way. So if we're going to love God with all of our heart, we cannot love God with a hard heart. It's just not possible. In Ezekiel 36:26, this is a promise. God said, "I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." He goes on to say, "I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll put my spirit on you." The prerequisite of receiving the spirit is actually being broken before the Lord and saying, "I need a savior. I need you to come into my life." And then God graciously gives to us what we need. But we can't have a hard heart and say, "God, give me your spirit." It's like having hard soil and saying, "God, pour out your seed on me." It's just, it's going to be snatched away. It's not going to go in. It's not going to work. I'm not recommending that you become a Pink Floyd fan, but how many of you know that album, The Wall by Pink Floyd? Raise your hand, just so, okay. How many of you know that each song is, it's a story? Every song, it's just not random songs. The whole album is a story. How many of you know that? Okay, a few less. How many of you have heard that song, "Teachers, Leave Your Kids Alone"? "Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone." The name of the song is "Another Brick in the Wall." All in all, it's just "Another Brick in the Wall." Later in the album, a song comes up, and the name of the song is "Comfortably Numb." Comfortably numb. I have become comfortably numb. And before that, it's "All in All" is just another brick in the wall of my heart. That's what he's talking about. The condition of this man's heart. Most of you probably don't even know that these words are in this song, because all we know is, hey, teacher, leave the kids alone. But these are the beginning words of that song, Another Brick in the Wall. Daddy's flown across the ocean, leaving just a memory. Snapshot in the family album. Daddy, what else did you leave for me? Daddy, what'd you leave behind for me? All in all, it was just another brick in the wall. It goes on, when we grew up and went to school, there were certain teachers who would hurt the children any way they could by pouring their derision upon anything we did and exposing every weakness, however carefully hidden by the kids. But out in the middle of nowhere, when they got home at night, their fat and psychopathic wives would thrash them within inches of their lives. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teachers, leave them kids alone. All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. So this guy, this kid, is abandoned by his father. And he just puts another brick in the wall because it hurts too bad. And then he goes to school and he gets exposed and emotionally abused by his teacher, by the teachers. But why are the teachers doing it? Because they're in pain, because they're hurting, because their home life is terrible. Why are their wives emotionally beating up their teachers? We don't know. But this is what happens in the world. Hurting people hurt people. And when we don't deal with things in a godly way, when we don't respond to pain and trauma and abandonment in a godly way, the only other choice is to numb ourselves. The only other choice is to self-protect by putting a brick, saying, I'm not going to let you hurt me like that. And we build bricks and we put bricks. And we have a brick wall in front of our heart and we wonder, why can't God's love get in? Why don't I feel peace? Why don't I feel alive? Why don't I feel joy? Because often we've hardened our heart. It's easier than dealing with the pain. It's easier than confronting someone that needs to be confronted. It's easier than embracing the truth sometimes about a situation and taking it to God and dealing with it. The Lord just, he put it on my heart weeks ago to talk about the heart. And I didn't even put two and two together till last night. That we have this play, A Christmas Carol, about Scrooge. And as I was watching, it opens with a cold, heartless man. A mean, cold, heartless man. We know that nobody, no child chooses to say, when I grow up, I just want to be bitter. When I grow up, I just want to be hard-hearted. I just want to be mean. No child ever does that. But stuff happens. And we know that Scrooge gets visited by these spirits. And in one of the scenes, Scrooge is in, he's in boarding school. And his sister's not. Now, we don't know what happened to his mother. But there's no mention of his mother in the play whatsoever. Only his father. And that his father was nice enough one day when Scrooge was older, saying, yeah, you can come visit for the holidays. So why was Scrooge left and abandoned at a boarding school, and he couldn't come home, but his little sister could. We don't know. Some people speculating about the story say that maybe Scrooge's mother died in childbirth, and his dad blamed him, and he got remarried, and Fan is his half-sister, and she's allowed to be home, but Scrooge is not. But there we see Scrooge alone on Christmas reading a book in a boarding school. Then we see him older, again, alone, reading a book at boarding school. And able to come home one Christmas because his dad was in a good mood. And then you see later he is in a relationship with a girl. And she's in love with him and he's in love with her, but he's got identity issues. And he wants success. And he chooses identity in money. Success in the world's eyes over love. And he later regrets it. The only person that seems to really love Scrooge, his sister or maybe half-sister, dies in childbirth. He's lost everything. And you see that he is one of those people that just brick by brick hardens his heart. And he becomes the mean, cold-hearted Scrooge that we see. Thank God for his grace and his mercy in Scrooge's life. That he awakened him to the realities of what was happening in his own heart. I didn't know this when I was younger, but when we shut out the bad, we also shut out the good. It works on a scale of 1 to 10 positive emotions, scale of 1 to 10 negative emotions. And I was experiencing abandonment. I was experiencing rejection. I was experiencing pain through the divorce of my parents. And it hurt bad. And I didn't know how to deal with it. We weren't Christians. None of us knew God. We were lost. And the least painful thing I could figure out was to just not feel. And I got really good at it. So I numbed myself to the negative emotions. But it wasn't till later that I realized I was numbing myself to the positive emotions too. You can't harden your heart to keep out bad seeds without keeping out good seeds as well. Hard soil keeps out all seed, good or bad. And I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. But I hardened my heart like Scrooge. And it actually cut off life from me. I also realized during that time frame, the Lord showed me later, but my parents were going through a divorce that was really brutal and really sudden, really shocking. And we had an Akita that got out one day. And she was from Grand Champions. She was big and strong and amazing dog. And she broke her chain, like just snapped it. She decided, had enough of being chained up. She snapped the chain, jumped over a big fence, and was out in the front yard. And I came home from school one day, and there were some girls down the street petting my big, scary-looking dog. And as I'm jogging towards my dog to go get her, this little dog comes out like little, comes out of a yard, and I panicked, and I started running as fast as I could. And this little dog came to my dog, and they started circling each other, sniffing each other's butts. And the little dog bit my dog in the face and started running off. And my dog took two, ba-boom, 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 big, you know, runs and grabbed it and ripped it to shreds in front of these little girls. The cop showed up. People were yelling, screaming. It was terrible. And I was 13 years old, and my parents were nowhere to be found. I don't know where my mom was. She didn't work. She was supposed to be there. But because of the divorce and the pain in her heart, she was just gone. And here, a 13-year-old boy had to deal with neighbors beating on my dog, thinking that she's going to kill kids, and the cops showing up, and all kinds of chaos. And it wasn't even as much about the dog. It was about the fact that I realized in that moment, I have no one. I'm all alone. I have to deal with life. I have to figure this out. I have no one to depend on. And I realized from that day forward, I was not a dependent of my parents any longer at 13 years old. I numbed and shut off being a son to my dad and a son to my mom. I said, you're not here for me. This is too painful. And I just slammed the door shut on them parenting me. They were still around. I didn't become a physical orphan, but I became a spiritual orphan because my heart was all alone. And my heart felt like I don't belong anywhere. And guess what? I'm crying now, but I didn't cry a tear. I didn't cry a tear. I was so numb and just decided I'm going to numb it even more. And I didn't feel a thing. But it robbed from me. It stole from me. And when I gave my life to Christ, I felt nothing. Nothing. I didn't feel peace. I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel forgiven. I didn't feel clean. Nothing happened. I know theologically at that point, I would have gone to heaven if I died. I know theologically I was forgiven, but I felt nothing different. And I wasn't different in my mindset, and I wasn't different in my behavior, except that I knew that I was dirty, and I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I was in trouble. That's all I knew. But God, in His mercy, when I said, God, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'm reading and I think I'm supposed to be different. The only word I heard was broken. Broken, broken. And I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't know how to break myself. I didn't know if I was too broken to be fixed. God set us up to go to a couples retreat, and we heard these stories of these married couples who cheated on each other and whose kids were a mess and on drugs, and it was like my story. And Jesus fixed them. But Jesus didn't fix my family. It was too late. But I started crying for the first time that I could remember in pretty much my whole life. I started crying and couldn't stop. That was 26 years ago. And I still haven't stopped. But daily sometimes, weekly, I have to go before the Lord because I experience pain, I experience stress, I experience rejection, I experience things. And I have a choice. God, am I just going to numb my heart? Am I just going to shut this off because it hurts or I don't like this feeling? Am I going to deny what I'm feeling and just say, call it faith, numb my heart and call it faith? Or am I going to come before you and pour my heart out and say, God, I need you. Keep my heart soft. Keep my heart alive. A numb heart is a dead heart. A numb heart is a dead heart. We have that choice. Women tend to be better at this. at letting their emotions out, but sometimes not always, or sometimes not in a healthy way. But us men, we struggle with this a lot more. Big boys aren't supposed to cry. But Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus felt. Holy Spirit gets sad. He grieves. God grieves. He cries. He gets angry. He feels emotion. Faith is not a lack of emotion. Faith is your emotion submitted to the truth. And sometimes that truth is acknowledging, I am angry, and I'm hurting, and I'm in pain. Part of my point is, we want life. We want life. We want freedom. We want joy. And if God's going to give it to us, then what does he have to do? He has to soften our hearts. He has to get at that pain. He has to get at that stuff that we've stuffed down, that we've hidden behind the brick, that we've shoved in the closet, that we've, you know, put a nice mask on. He's got to get at the pain. I've learned now, sometimes I cry because I just need to cry. Sometimes I cry because I'm feeling the mercy and the compassion of the Lord. And sometimes I cry and I don't even know why. But you know what I've learned? You just got to let it happen. Because if you don't, all in all, it's just another brick in the wall. I want to read a couple poems to you, and then I actually found these online, and I think they're written by just totally random people. But this one is called My Hardened Heart. When everything was soft and kind, and love first got its start, that was long before I got this hardened heart. Love found me fresh and new, but bruised me now and then. My heart began to harden, but I don't remember when. Now I've wisened it to not look past its gate, to stay in a flux-like state between nothing less than hate. Hurt too many times, the soul itself being bruised, always left in the lurch and always feeling used. But I do remember a time before, in a rose-like colored haze, a time when my heart was soft. Yet, yes, those were the days. Children are alive. They experience so much joy because their hearts are soft. Their hearts are soft. We have to become like little children if we are to receive the kingdom. When we get hurt, we have to run to daddy. We have to run to mommy and say, I'm hurting. Johnny hurt me. We have to run to daddy with the same things. Not pretend to just be big boys and girls and suck it up. Here's another one. Harden not your heart to your spiritual condition. Let it not turn cold by your selfish ambition. Let it not turn to stone like the rebellious one. Let it not become distant by a grumbling tongue. Harden not your heart to the Holy Spirit's leading. Let it not turn cold by the sins you are keeping. Let it not become rigid by careless drifting. Let it not be stubborn by the life you're living. Harden not your heart by disbelief or doubt. Let it not turn cold by shutting the word out. Let it not turn you away from the hope of eternal peace. Let it not turn to ice. Let not your faith in God cease. Here's the problem with a soft heart. A soft heart can be hurt. A soft heart can be hurt. And that's the choice that lays before us. Am I going to not experience so much pain and have a hard heart? Or am I going to be fully alive and have a soft heart and yet be wounded, be able to be wounded? Which choice do you think that God has made about himself? Which choice has he made? Has he hardened his heart towards us? Do you not know? He hasn't. He's kept a soft heart. But what does that mean? He hurts. He hurts. But he refuses to be nothing than alive. He refuses to be nothing but life. Deuteronomy 10:15. Moses is speaking over Israel. And he says, "Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all people." You above all people. He set his heart on you above all people, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. The Lord gave his heart to us. He gives his heart to us. He gives a soft heart to us. He sets his love and affection on us. And all he asks is that we would have a tender and a soft heart back. That's all he asks. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you, we're going to give an early Christmas gift to the Lord. And that is the gift of me. The gift of you. The gift of your whole heart. The gift of a soft heart. Even if you have to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, my heart is really hard. I need your help." He will help you, I promise. He will help you. But the scariest thing to know is that he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. He will not make you. And if you come to the play this afternoon, or if you already saw it, towards the end, Scrooge is asking the question, is my future predetermined? Is it predetermined that I'm going to die? Is it predetermined that my life is going to end like this? If a man changes his heart, won't his future change? And he finds out, yes, yes. But the scariest thing is he gives us the choice. We don't know when our last day will be. We don't want to go out hard-hearted. God has given his heart to us. A soft and tender heart. Can we give it back to him? When we give a soft heart to God, when we allow him to soften our heart, we actually give a gift to ourselves of life and joy and peace. We give a gift to our spouses and the people around us of tenderness and compassion and love and joy and peace. And when we get hurt, we take it before the Lord and say, "God, that hurt. That hurt. But I'm not going to harden my heart. You're my Savior. You are my defender." Would you stand up with me? I had a lady from West Virginia call this morning. The church phone gets forwarded to my cell phone, and sometimes I get random calls, and I answered it, and I shouldn't have, probably. But I ended up spending about 20 minutes ministering to this lady. She was asking, please have Catherine call me and pray for me. I can't come. And I said, well, let me pray for you. She had unforgiveness. She had a hard heart. She had pain and trauma. One of the things I had to have her do was fire herself from being the judge of her own heart, but fire herself from being her own protector. We are terrible at it. We are terrible, terrible, terrible at self-protection. The Lord is supposed to be our protection and our defense and our strong tower. We're supposed to run to Him, not defend ourselves. Because all we know how to do, another brick in the wall. Or pick up the brick and throw it at somebody. It doesn't work out very well. So why don't we do that? Can we fire ourselves today? I'm not saying don't ever have boundaries with people, but usually by the time we draw boundaries, we're angry and bitter, and it's not out of love. It's not out of health. It's out of anger or bitterness. Just repeat after me and say your name. I'm going to say mine. Don't say mine. Okay? Stacy. You're terrible at protecting me. Jesus is much better at it. So you're fired. I hire Jesus. Can we play this song? I just want to do this. I'm going to play this song. It's just going to be audio. It's a song called New Wine. And if you need to do some business with the Lord, or you need to ask Him to give you a soft heart, I just ask that you would come up while we play this song and just listen to the lyrics and let the Lord minister to you, or you just pray to the Lord, confess to the Lord, ask Him for what you need. Can we give that gift to Him of a whole heart? You don't need to wait to come up. If this message touched you, then please just come down.